This is an uncensored podcast about sex and sexual topics. Listener discretion is advised. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are solely those of the person or persons sharing them. Some names have been changed to preserve the anonymity of its participants. Oh, the starlights?
Yeah.
Starlight, star bright. Wait, is there a song called Starlight?
Starlight, star bright.
Oh, that's Madonna. Song, right? No, I don't think that's called Starlight.
Lucky star.
I wish you were my lucky star. Yeah, I think it's called Lucky Star. Did you drink before I came over? What was it? One or two? We're recording.
Oh.
We need to know how many you've had.
Probably one or two.
Oh my god.
But I'm also feeling a bit like loopy.
I am feeling loopy. Hi Priscilla.
Hi Drew, how are you?
It's been such a while since it's been just the two of us.
It's true.
Lexi is
working.
Our spiritual third, and she is or a sexual third. But not like that, actually.
She's an arthrupple.
She's an arthrup. She's our thruplet. And she is working hard for the money.
To support our lifestyles.
She's trying to support her. She's trying to retire her husband. Which is a very big term in the MLM community.
Well,
she's not in the MLM community.
More power to her.
She would have done very poorly in the MLM community because she's like too intelligent.
I was gonna say that, like, she probably is too nice to grow a pyramid scheme.
No, there's plenty of nice people and plenty of, like, gullible people too. I mean, really? I was a part of it.
I just feel like if you know that you're in a pyramid scheme, you probably don't want to screw people under you. Or you do want to screw people under you in order to make money.
No, I think you're just brainwashed and you don't think of it like that.
Okay.
Like, you're, like, literally told to believe, like, if I don't tell you about this, I'm, like, depriving you of, like, the most amazing opportunity of your life.
That makes sense, because how else are these pyramid schemes working so well?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
they also have really good product, like, a lot of times. Like, what's that one? It's called, like, it's not Lord and Taylor. I always want to say Lord and Taylor. That's a store. But there's one called, like, Gilchrist and Solms or something.
What's that one?
It's probably not the one. God damn it.
Is it, like, makeup?
Yeah, it's like a skincare stuff. And
Rodan and Fields. How do I know that?
Because all I had to say was skincare, and you knew it.
Yeah, I was told to buy stuff from there, but I was like, I know this is an MLM. I'll never be part of your scam. Sorry.
Ugh. You know what's so funny is, like, my stepsisters were both involved in them too. I was involved with Juice Plus. And they were involved in, one of my stepsisters was involved in, Pampered Chef, which has amazing stuff, amazing products. And I think she was just like, oh, I want all these kitchen things, but I don't want to pay full price. So I'm going to try to get other people to buy kitchen things for me so I can, like, get, you know, discounts on kitchen things. And that's how my other stepsister was with Rodan and Fields. I think she just wanted all the skincare.
Oh.
Because they all are very expensive. Usually the products are really expensive.
I see. But, I mean, I feel like it's okay if you actually want the things.
I want kitchen stuff. I want skincare. I want juices. Magic pills with juice inside that, like, keep me from dying. That's literally what I thought. I thought I was never going to die.
I may be... The only MLM I can see myself being part of, if they ever were to invent it, is, like, I don't know, a White Claw MLM.
Oh, my God.
Because I do drink that a lot.
That would shatter the...
The seltzer game?
The cryptosphere. The seltzer game. Ew, what if that was the only way you could get spiked seltzer was to, like, be a part of a pyramid? You gotta buy it from your local rep.
I think I'd be pretty good at it, or spend a lot of money on seltzer.
No, but that would raise the price of seltzer. I like this cheap White Claw I'm holding.
It would benefit my direct above person.
Yeah.
What is that called?
Your upline?
Upline.
Yeah. Uplines, downlines. Sometimes they say sidelines, but they just say, like, team a lot of times.
Wow.
But, yeah, this is a good talk.
Good talk.
Don't get me started. We have too many things to talk about. Okay. What do we have to talk about? Oh, we could also do... let's start that later. I'm also going to be doing... I'll just announce it now. There's some exciting things. Also, I didn't tell you this, but I think this should be the first episode of season 3.
Oh my God!
Because technically last month, I started this podcast in March of 2020.
Uh-huh.
And it's March of 2022 now.
What? So that's congratulations! Like,
we're in our third season now.
That's huge.
I know. And historically... You know, people become famous in their third season of podcasts.
No, oh, and not just podcasts, but, like, anything. Sitcoms. That's, like, when they get their groove and become really funny.
So they just are allowed to have two really bad seasons?
Well, I don't know if it's bad. I mean, like, the first episode of a something is always bad. Like, think about, like, Parks and Rec. But, like...
Yeah.
By the time it's, like, third season...
Oh, pilots are usually terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the time it's third season, you know the characters, you know everybody's in their own groove. And so, I'm not saying that I'm in my groove, but I feel like you're in your groove, Drew.
I think maybe in season 2, I, like, lost my groove. Now I've got my groove back. Not really sure about that.
Did you get your groove back? Did you, like, find Taye Diggs?
I'm not sure what kind of groove one can even have when they begin a podcast during a global pandemic. Like, I just don't... There was nothing else to do. And so I guess part of losing my groove came from the fact that, like, once we weren't super locked down anymore, I kind of had to, like, go back and, like, work again.
Right.
Like, it was really nice to, like, make a podcast when I was on unemployment.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I was almost on unemployment again.
Right.
Should we talk about that now? I feel like that's, like, I don't want to, like, monopolize too much time talking about it, but I was recently suspended from my job for talking about a member that is a part of my workplace. I work at a gym. He's a member of the gym. And I'm not allowed to use his name, but he was running for school board. Where we live.
So a public figure.
Public, running for public office. And I spoke out against him on an Instagram live of mine, which, by the way, I have to take down. They want me to take it down. I forgot to tell you that.
Oh, I thought it was removed.
No, I took it off Facebook because I just kind of, like, put it on Instagram and bounced it to Facebook. But I took it off Facebook and then I...
Gently
so
setting.
So quiet. But yet it was so loud. okay, so I actually have a video where I talk about him. there's a video where I talk about talking about him and I say his name in both, so I have to take them both down. And then there's like maybe a third video, but I can't remember what that one was. I don't know. But anyway, so, but the thing is, I don't want to, I want to be able to save them somewhere, like in my own personal collection. So I wish there was like a way you could like save things on Instagram that no one can see them, but like they're still there.
I don't know the answer to that, but I feel like you would be remiss to not talk about what you said in the video.
Okay, yeah. So, essentially, this person came to me and was like, it's an older white male. He's very conservative, and I've always liked him, in person, but he came to me and gave me some campaign materials, like a flyer with his, like, his values and his, like...
His platform.
Platforms, yeah, exactly. And one of the things that I just, like, could not handle was just that he was anti-critical race theory. Mm-hmm. And that's just insane. Like, he was talking so much about, like, how he just is, like, playing under the illusion that, like, everything is fine now. Like, we don't have to... bring up all of this painful history from the past of, like, you know, what happened to black people, because we're all good now. And, like, every time you bring up black history, it makes us all upset, and it pins us against each other.
Well, it makes white kids upset, according to their narrative.
He doesn't want, like, his children or grandchildren to be born feeling like they did something wrong. Mm-hmm. And it's like... No, neither do we. We don't want babies to feel like they're racist, but we also don't want you to neglect, like telling them what happened in the past doesn't make them racist or feel racist. It doesn't make you look racist in their eyes, but like when your kids get to the age where they realize that like you never told them all this bullshit that happened, they're gonna think you're fucking racist.
That's a really good point. It's like, how are you supposed to like keep a bag on a kid's head long enough for them to not understand something like slavery happened,
right?
Or the Holocaust, or like whatever book is being banned for whatever reason, that like if that kid finds out one day and realize that entire chapters of real life were just conveniently ignored for their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
If that happened to me, I would throw shit. I would be like, I don't know who I am anymore. Like, my entire reality would be shattered. That would be cause for so much therapy, and I would never be able to forgive my family. Especially, like, if... I mean, I'm not just, like, speaking for like, other people of color, but, like, imagine if you're a white kid and you grew up not knowing any of this horrific history happened, and then you found out that it actually did. Like, you either, like, you don't have many options besides, like, getting mad or, like, finding out the truth and needing therapy. Like, and probably all three.
Yeah. My parents, like, they always, always, always watched movies with me where, like, there was issues of racism, like, you know, like, where there were people, like, we watched, I can't even remember the movies were, but it was, like, movies where, like, there was some kind of, like, Southern court trial, there was, like, a murder, and it had to do with race, and, like
that fucking thing.
I feel like Sandra Bullock was involved.
This is, like...
She wasn't a person of color in the movie. It wasn't The Blind Side. This was way before. But it, like, there was all these scenes from, like, you know, Jim Crow.
Jim Crow?
I almost said Jeff Crow. From Jim Crow era South. Like, they never hid me from any of that. And they never hid me from any R-rated stuff. Like, my parents were just really bad at... I mean, they're really bad at keeping secrets, too. But, like... they're really bad with not being transparent. So, like, that was one of the good things that came out of my childhood was that, like, they didn't keep me from anything. Yeah. Like, we'd be, like, halfway through Fatal Attraction before they were like, oh, shit, Drew's in the room. Like, we better get him out of here. It's like, no, I knew everything the whole time. And I didn't turn out to be a fucking murderer.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm gay, but, you know, that's not bad.
That's great that you're gay.
I actually do think I'm gay because we had HBO when I was little.
Well, I don't know if that is what caused it, but no, it probably just made you very tantalized. And you're like, whoa, I like penises.
Love them.
Yeah.
They're so yummy. Yeah. I haven't had one in such a long time. Mm-hmm. I'm about to lose all of my standards altogether. You just put any penis in my mouth.
Well, you had some standards in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm going to release that episode. I was thinking so much about it. So we've had two trips to Atlanta. One was in the last, like, couple months. The other one was, like, over a year ago. And I've listened, and there's so much audio from that trip, and it's, like, as a someone who's always looking for content to release, like, I'm just like, that's so valuable. I need to release all of that.
It's like, that's like the Criterion collection.
It's the Criterion. But at this point, I don't think I'm going to be releasing that trip.
Oh!
Both
of them?
No, the first one.
Oh.
Yeah, the first trip. There's a lot of stuff that happened that I just didn't, I don't know. I don't know if there's any reason to release it. I mean, it was fun. There's some funny stuff. We definitely went and had sexy times. Well, at least did. I did, yeah.
I got rubbed down by, like,
I got rubbed down.
Korean auntie, but...
Oh, you... I didn't... Yeah, you did. I didn't. I got rubbed down by a Korean uncle.
Mm-hmm.
But I would never call him that. Because that would be problematic. No, but, yeah, maybe eventually. Maybe if we ever have, like, a Patreon and, like, people want to, like, listen to the unreleased audio.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, so that's not happening yet. But so the exciting thing I was about to say before all of that, remember when I was like, I want to tell people this idea I had?
Yes.
Whoops. So I released my episode with Messi, my friend who lives outside of Seattle. She's like, you know, 30-something and like losing her virginity finally and like becoming like a female top, and she's sending me such good audio clips that like I kind of decided like after our interview I wanted to like just like as she sends me like just the whole most hilarious sexy audio clips about her sexcapades.
Oh my gosh!
I want to like play them on the episodes and then just like we can talk about it.
She's allowing you, She's letting her content fly.
Yeah, because it's so fucking funny. She's aware that she's fucking hilarious.
That's hot.
I know. And she's also, like, just really coming into herself as this, like, big top. Like, she just loves it. And I, like, that gives me, like, a lot of, like, I don't know, faith in myself, too. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah, like, I could be a fucking top.
You can. You just need to get out of this place.
Getting out of this place.
You can't even talk about slavery.
Everyone here is a bottom.
Without offending little white kids.
Yeah, so I got suspended from my job because I made it too obvious who I was talking about and how I knew them, and it was a member of my job, so...
It was a travesty. We were, like, so ready to sue the shit out of them.
We had talked to some... Employers. We had talked to counsel.
We had counsel.
But not... We didn't pay counsel. Unfortunately, we can't afford to pay counsel. Also, counsel is a different kind of lawyer than... Maybe
counsel what we would is have counsel. Needed.
Counsel's counsel.
We got great advice.
And I have a counselor who I spoke with about... I mean, it was hard. It was like, I wasn't sleeping well at night. I was super depressed. I dipped in my serotonin many a time in that 2 weeks. I didn't get paid for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I just had to, like, shop for Instacart the whole time. I was like, I need money.
Well, it was just like... bullshit all around, but it took your HR 40 hours to deliberate about how to slap your wrist.
It's like almost 2 days.
Yeah. What, 2 days?
40 hours?
40 work hours.
I thought you meant once they had made a decision, they waited 2 days to call me.
40 work hours is a lot.
Right. 40 work hours. Well, unfortunately, I work that rarely. Like, I work super part-time that, like, 40 hours is all I achieve in 2 weeks.
But then you were saying that it was suspicious how long it took them to deliberate.
Oh, because they waited till after the election to tell me I could come back to work?
Right.
Yep.
But, like, the silver lining is the candidate came in third last.
Third last.
Dead last.
That is a temporary silver lining because apparently that election's going to happen again in the fall.
Oh, yeah. It was a special election for a retiree. But.
Yeah.
But also, Drew got me to vote for my local school board election, which
I got her to vote.
For school board.
Oh, right. Yeah. She never votes.
I vote all the time. I just don't vote for school board. I don't care about kids. But I did.
She doesn't like kids.
I don't like kids and I don't care about.
But you know why it's important to care about kids?
Because otherwise they would be afraid of learning about racism.
Oh, also because eventually they won't be kids anymore.
Oh, yeah.
That's the most important
reason. Well, I'm getting out of here anyway. Getting out of Dodge.
But there'll be kids where you move.
Well, it's going to be very liberal.
We're trying to make sure that Generation Alpha is just, like, so fucking badass.
Yeah.
And they've got all the resources they need, and they're just, like, loving everybody and just, like, being like, oh, you don't love trans kids? Fuck you.
Well, this is a good segue for Don't Say Gay.
All right. Well, we should take a break first.
Okay. Need a drink.
Oh, here's a word from our sponsors, and we're going to drink some more. Some of these fake Sour Patch Kids are, like, beheaded. Like, you have little heads in here. Look at that.
Yummy. They're delicious.
Also, Sour Patch Kids' heads look like feet. They have toes on their heads.
Lula, you're not going to like Sour Patch Kids, I promise you.
They're toe heads.
Thank you for bringing these.
Delicious. They're so good. So, some, like, current events. Well, first of all, I need to talk about mistakes. So I think, like, a couple episodes ago, I talked with Lexi about the man with the largest penis in the world. And there's some, like, I made some mistakes because I, of course, did no research. So I did a little bit of research now. Okay, so the guy's name is Roberto Esquivel Cabrera. And he's from Mexico. And he, I didn't know what country he was from before. He's from Mexico. He was on the show, and I had said that, like, he has the world's largest penis, which he does. But previously, there was this guy named Jonah Falcon, who was, like, this white guy. I think he might be British. Actually, no, it says he was an American actor. I don't know that he's ever been in anything. He's kind of a dick.
Literally.
I feel like he, like, lives with his mom.
Oh.
He's, like, 50. Anyway. That's okay, I guess. He had a 13-inch penis, and I feel like that's not that big. Honestly, like, I feel like there are guys, specifically, like, guys I've seen, some of them are black guys who have, like, that big a penis or bigger. And they're not in the motherfucking Guinness book. Like, there was a guy who I saw at this gym that I used to go to. And his penis was, like, so big that I literally couldn't. I, like, literally couldn't handle it. I mean, I couldn't mentally handle it. Like, he was wearing a bathing suit. And then we went in the shower. And then he took his bathing suit off. And I was just like, my mouth was just, like, open. And I literally, like, I didn't know what to say. I just was lip smackered. And he was like, yeah, this is my fucking dick.
It sounds so big.
We're so big.
And I just feel bad for people with large appendages.
But I feel like this guy, like, he, and other guys with big dicks, like, they might, you know, it might be useful sometimes, but a lot of times, especially, like, so this Roberto guy, his dick is 18 inches long, and it turns out that it's actually not that long. What happens is, like, they did a, not an MRI, but a...
CAT scan.
No, the one they do when you're pregnant. They put the ultrasound. They put the jelly on your dick, and they move the wand all up and down it.
They really need to do an ultrasound for that?
I think that's what they said.
Okay.
Anyway, so they did that, and they found out that his penis actually isn't that long. His foreskin is super, super long, and it's also, like, inflamed also, so there's, like, swelling because it, like, rubs on everything all the time.
Sounds really painful.
Like, it showed him sitting on the toilet in the video, and he had to, like, have, like, his dick out. Like, he had to hold it, or he would put a string around his neck to hold his dick out from his body so that he could pee, like, into, like, a, like, essentially, like, a big gulp cup while he's pooping. Because, you know, like, when you're pooping and, like, you pee a little.
So he sits on the toilet.
He has to sit to shit. That's kind of important.
Well, a lot of people sit to shit.
Arguably everyone.
Most people.
Right. You can't really shit standing up. I was thinking about that.
Unless you have a colostomy bag.
Well, I wasn't thinking about that. Oh, yeah, exactly. That's the one exception. He does not. And his anus is probably... the normal size, I would say. So it's not like a... He doesn't have like a long sphincter or something also. He just has a really long penis. But I feel like these guys all, like, they obviously, like, have something to be proud of. Like, this guy has the option of having, like, a surgery to lob off all his extra foreskin and just, like, make his penis usable. Like, he can't even have sex, but, like... He's just super proud of his big dick, and he probably puts it in his mouth. I mean, I'm just going to say it.
Big dicks are overrated.
They really are.
Big boobs are overrated. I mean, they're great.
I can't do anything with a big dick. Like, after a certain size, like, I just want to look at it. Like, it might as well be in a museum. Like, if I had no teeth, I might be able to get it in my mouth. But, like, I just can't. I can't, even, and my rule is if I can't get it in the mouth, I'm not putting it in my butt.
It's just like, it's not an accomplishment to have large genitalia.
Right, you haven't done anything.
Yeah.
And that goes along with your theory about, like, it's not an accomplishment to have children.
Oh my God, it's not. I mean, I don't know if I want to get into this.
But that's a little bit more of an accomplishment than just, like, being born with huge genitals.
It does take a lot of work to be pregnant and go through labor and stuff like that, but I just feel like being born with large genitalia or large breasts is actually more inconvenient than it is an attractive thing.
You have, like, double D's.
I know, I probably became a C from my COVID weight gain.
A double C?
Maybe, yeah.
Is there such thing?
I think it's, like, that means just, like, I have even size C's.
Like, one of them is a C and the other one's a C?
I don't think, like, there's a double...
Double C.
I don't think that's a term.
It just goes to D.
I think it's, like, for batteries.
And then it goes to double D.
Actually, you're right. There is a double D.
And then there's no E.
There is. I think it goes, like, all the way to, like, E, F, G.
I've heard of double Fs.
Yeah. Yeah, but that sounds so painful. If I had, like, boobs absolutely. That were any bigger than mine, I would hate it. I would hate working out. I would find it very uncomfortable to wear dresses. I love wearing dresses without a bra. So small boobs are awesome.
My mother, she came out of her... So she got a package... Like, the whole family was involved. My stepdad brought the package in from the mailbox. My mom was like, I got a package. And then I was like, what is it? She's like, she was like, I could tell you, but I can't open it here. And I was like, what? I said, is it going to benefit me some? And she's like, possibly.
What?
And I was like, what is in this package? And I was like, why can't you open it here? And of course, we've got, you know, my niece's boyfriend staying with us. So she goes into her bedroom and comes out. and is like, I got a new bra.
Why would that benefit you?
It doesn't. But she looked like, she said, it's so comfortable and it takes my boobs from being down here and it like brings them up here where they used to be. And I'm looking at her and cool. I'm like, wow, you do look really different. Like, I haven't seen your boobs there maybe ever, because she was like 40 when I was born. But I was like, but they also look small and they also look like they're being squished.
Oh my gosh.
It almost looked like when she lifted her shirt up to show me the bra, it almost looked like she was wearing like one of those like compression tops.
Oh my gosh, she was wearing Skims by Kim Kardashian.
She was wearing, yeah, I said, where'd you get it? And she said, I don't know, China. So I said, great.
All things are made in China.
I'm surprised something made in China fits my mom's huge breasts.
Gosh.
Like, I'm really proud of her.
Because
she's got double D's.
If she's happy, then I'm happy.
Well, it's kind of that thing of like, yeah, everything, every new piece of whatever feels great on your body when you first put it on, but wear it for a few hours and then see if you get like chafing or blisters.
Oh, yeah. I can't imagine like something from turning your large breast into something like a raisin would be very uncomfortable after.
No.
Very comfortable after a couple hours.
Yeah, her bras that keep her boobs where they naturally are, they're probably more comfortable than the bra that's going to take her boobs and lift it up like 6 inches.
Yeah.
And her boobs aren't that low. Although I'll say when my mom's sitting down, I think she could definitely, like, put her boob, like, in her hip fold and, like, squish it.
That's cool.
It's so cool. But my mom, she fucking nursed 4 babies. And she is just, like, she's always had big boobs.
Cool.
Which is another reason why she feels fat all the time, too. Because when you have big boobies, you kind of like, if you don't dress a certain way, like you kind of look bigger sometimes. Oh. Like she would need to cinch right underneath her boobs. Well, okay, so she could cinch her waist, but now that is actually right underneath her boobs.
So we're happy for your mother then.
Yes. And now the world knows way too much about my mom's boobs, which she does not want anyone to know about. So this was very, I'm not a good person.
She
We're trying to be better people.
We're sorry. It's very triggering.
Sorry. I mean, I want my mom, who's 70-something, to have boobs down to her knees. I want that. Like, I love my mom. I want to hug her and be like, oh.
Yeah, you love her big boobs.
Good big booby hugs.
Yeah.
And I don't even like boobs like a lot of men like boobs.
No.
But I do like boobs. And I actually really like men with big nipples.
Huh. That's an interesting thing. I never thought about that.
This one sexy Instagram influencer has like kind of doughy, puffy nipples, and he's like super muscular. And some fucking troll on his Instagram asked him like if he had some kind of like a problem, like hormonal disorder. And he was like, nope, I don't have a hormonal disorder. This is how my body looks.
Oh my gosh. That's...
And I was like, ew.
Oh my gosh, a doughy nipple sounds amazing, right?
It's so good.
Don't you just like want to put that in your mouth all the
Anything
time?
Anything doughy. Yeah. I love a doughy penis. Sometimes that's really nice.
Yeah, like a really squishy, flaccid penis.
I would have no need for pizza anymore if I had doughy nips on a boyfriend.
I know. I love like a squishy feeling in my mouth.
I love a squish. Mm-hmm. I actually would prefer sometimes like a flaccid wiener to like a hard wiener.
Yes.
An overly hard wiener, it's just like, you're trying too hard.
Yeah.
Wah, wah.
I know.
Okay, so what other dumb things do I want to talk about before we talk serious? Okay, so there's this new show. Well, let me say this too. I'm kind of in love with my pharmacist. His name is Julian, I think. Who else is named Julian? Oh, that was the name of that street we were on. No, but so my pharmacist, I think his name is Julian. He's kind of like salt and peppery. He wears scrubs. Sometimes I can see his wiener through his scrubs. I'm like, yay.
You can?
He's super, yeah, because he's got one of those wieners that sticks out when he's flaccid. And it's like, okay.
That's incredible.
I mean, I'm assuming. And he's just super cute. And he gives me my antidepressants. And I'm going to start calling him Pillboy. And, like, I want to know, like, what I can do to, like, are those pumpkin seeds?
No, they're little...
Oyster crackers? dog food?
Like beef liver.
Oh, my treats. God. She's eating them so fast and then looking at you like, okay, more.
I keep on eating fake Sour Patch Kids in front of her, so...
I know, she's so upset. Mm-hmm. She's had so many treats because we're gluttonous. Now she has to be. Oh, my God. And now she's... Oh, my God, is that a spit bubble? Or was that a... I think she had a spit bubble.
She has those.
That's so hot. I want to know how I can, like, talk to my pharmacist. He's not actually a pharmacist. He's, like, a farm tech or something at CVS. I want to know how I can, like, talk to him without it being, like, make him feel uncomfortable at the workplace. Other than, like, wow, 20 milligrams. I'm really insane. Really depressed.
You want to, like, take some with me?
You want to, like, get high, Pillboy? I might just be like, what do you do for fun?
Oh, my God. One time, so...
Count pills?
I wonder if this is the same Julian I know, but I don't know. But it's a small town, and I got hemorrhoid cream, not for me, but for my dog. And I had to explain that to whoever.
At CVS?
Huh?
At CVS?
Yeah, at CVS.
By Publix?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a guy?
Yeah. I wonder.
I'm sorry, Leela. I'm sorry.
But Leela just had, like, surgery and she needed hemorrhoid cream.
Oh, poor baby. Look at, she looks so ashamed that you're telling us this. She just looked at me like, fucking dare she.
A prescription for her, and it's under, like, Leela, my last name, Leela Toyota.
Leela Toyota!
I also had to pick up some hemorrhoid cream from her. And then, like, I was checking out, and from the pharmacist, her, the tech, and I was just like, this isn't for me. Okay, this is for my dog, Leela.
Did he flirt with you?
I don't think so, but...
He's probably into guys.
But then he was just like, well, hey, I don't judge, so... If it were Julian or Pillboy, then he wouldn't judge you for your antidepressants.
Well, did you have to get, first of all, they have dog, oh, it was just like regular hemorrhoid for anyone.
Yeah.
They have that over the counter or they have that behind the counter?
No, I got her prescription and also got her hemorrhoid and I had to check out at the same register.
This was before COVID when you could actually... get other stuff at the pharmacy desk. Yeah. Now you have to, like, go to the front because they are understaffed and overwhelmed.
Mm.
Which, you know, we need to support our Pillboys.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm going to date I feel like if I date somebody who has access to pills, you never know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so one more thing. I'm watching this show called Minx. It's on HBO. And it's about this woman. It's, like, set in the... 70s, like 60s, 70s. It's like this woman who wants to be like a magazine publisher and like she's a writer and she like wants to write about women's issues and all this like awesome shit, but like nobody cares about feminism. And it's like very much like it's almost like when I watched Suffragettes and I was like, oh, this is so fucking depressing. Like, women were legitimately property and then they were legitimately second class citizens. And even up to, like, the 1980, they were, like, that's when the first woman was voted into the Supreme Court, was in, like, 1981 or something.
Is that really when it was?
I think so. I think it was Ruth Bader Ginsburg. No. Senator O'Connor.
RBG is second.
Sorry, Leela. I'm so sorry. Oh, my God. Why am I even screaming? Like, what the fuck's wrong with me? Yeah, so it's like you get to see a woman living in a man's world, wanting to talk about women's issues, and then she ends up finding someone who would publish her magazine, but it has to be, he produces porn magazines.
Oh, that's why it's called Minx?
Yeah, so they came up with the name Minx for it.
Who's in it?
Nobody I know. Oh, the guy, okay, so the guy from New Girl that plays, like, the guy with the weird nose from New Girl, the white guy. He plays the porn producer.
Okay.
And he's so cute. I don't know his name, but I love him. The girl I don't know. Janique?
Jake?
Yeah. Janique. Janique.
Thompson.
Jake Thompson. That's his real name?
I have no idea. Oh, my God. I made that up.
It's probably not that.
No.
His name is Pillboy.
I'm going to look it up now.
God damn it.
I'm just going to have to correct it later. So.
Right, exactly. Leaving all this in. But he's in it. Oh, and then this really funny lady who's been in a bunch of things. I don't know her name either. She plays the sister. Someone who looks like Carrie Underwood, but like not.
Oh my God. Jake Johnson.
Oh, wait, you were so close.
So good at this.
Wait, that's his name?
Yeah.
He is so not that type. No. Oh, and this guy, Taylor Zakhar Perez. You see him in it. And he's completely naked in it. There's a bunch of naked guys in it. Oh, that girl. What's her name?
Jessica Lowe.
That blonde? Yeah, Andy. She looks like Carrie Underwood.
Michael.
Yeah, nobody else. Nobody knows anybody else.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, that woman's a funny woman. What's her name?
Adara Victor.
What? Really?
Tina?
Oh, yeah. No, Lennon Parham? Is that what it says?
Parham.
She's super funny.
Shelley.
She was in Veep. She played, like, the woman who, like... Selena was like
the one that agrees with everything.
Agrees with everything. She's so funny.
What?
I know, but it's so funny.
God, I know so many people like her that in that Veep character.
I know.
Ew. Just I'm talk about getting triggered.
Ugh. Oh my God, I'm sorry. I triggered you. I triggered you without even knowing.
Okay.
So anyway, the show's really good, but. They show a lot of penis because HBO's new thing is to just show penis in everything.
So gratuitous.
And I think it's like their reaction to like the not their reaction to the Me Too movement, but their reaction to like hundreds of years of only showing naked women and not men. So now it's just like everything has to have a penis and not like women's tits but not vagina.
How do you feel about that?
I can't believe I'm even saying it, but like, I'm almost like, wow, there's too much penis.
Yeah.
But I love penis and I want it everywhere, but sometimes I'm just like, the only reason why I feel that is because it feels kind of divisive and I'm feeling like they're just like, there's like now a penis quota or something.
Yeah, I agree. I think like context matters.
Right.
Yeah. If it's like a sex scene or if it belongs there for some reason, but like.
Well, there's also a lot of background nudity. Like they'll be in a scene where everyone who's not even doesn't have lines is walking around naked in the background.
Yeah.
And then the actors are just in the scene, which is seems gratuitous.
Right. Like, or also when like Euphoria, when they have a lot of penises and these are like kids in high school, like that
yeah, then weird. You're like, wait a minute.
Yeah,
but they're obviously being played by like 30-year-olds, but it's like still like, yeah, but they're it's I don't know,
this is an underage penis,
right? Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so the other thing that they do a lot in the show is like if you are an actual actor with a role in lines and you have to show your penis, they won't show your real penis. They use prosthetic. And they actually build a prosthetic over your real genitals and your real bush and everything. So you have like a fake bush, which looks like someone put a, like used a glue stick to like just glue pieces of hair on you. And then a really fake looking dildo that just hangs off your body for the scene.
Oh my God. Okay. So did we talk about this? Because I got a flashback to Friends. When Joey had that baloney penis that Monica fashioned, and I swear we talked about this.
Okay, did we talk about that in the Atlanta trip?
I
don't
remember.
In the car with Lexi and...
No, this was a different conversation.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because I never watched Friends, so whoever we were talking to had to be, like, a third party. Because you guys were like, Joey baloney penis, and I was like...
Oh, maybe it was.
No.
Oh my God.
Or are we even recording this conversation?
I have no idea. But like that gives me flashbacks to Joey Bologna.
Is it triggering?
No.
Okay, good.
It's funny.
So I've done my job.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just weird. It's weird that like, and in Europe they're like showing penis always and forever. They're not showing penis just now to make up for all the lack of penis. they've just always shown penis and vagina and right. boobies and everything, and it was never a big deal.
Yeah.
And they showed sex, and it was never a big deal. And they don't use prosthetic penises on actors.
Well, how do you feel about prosthetic penises?
I think it's ridiculous, but I mean, I have a feeling that, like...
Do it out of modesty, or is it because they want to have a larger penis on screen?
Well, I think there's something to do with, like, they can't audition actors and say, like, you only can play this role if you have a big dick, because the actor playing this role, the character has to have a big dick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's something to do with, like, the legality of, like, asking an actor to strip his pants off when he auditions. Like, you can't do that. It's not porn. But also... I think, like, they're doing it in other roles where, like some of the roles, like, obviously the actor is supposed to have a big dick. But I think it's this thing of, like, having a big dick in the mind of everyone is, like, means that you're a big man, or, like, you're more manly, or that you're a better man or something. So, like, a lot of actors, they fear that, like, if they showed their penis in a movie and it wasn't big, then, like, they would lose a lot of their fandom. They would lose, like, their career would be, like, tainted or ruined because they don't have a big dick.
It's so silly because, like, a flaccid penis can be, like, half the size an erect penis. It's like, how, it doesn't even matter, like, if it's real or fake, because, like, an erect penis is so different from a flaccid penis.
They said something like, and this seems untrue, but I think it is true, that, like, a penis grows 200% bigger from flaccid to erect on average.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, it just gets so much bigger when it gets hard. Now, some people with really big penises, they, it doesn't get any bigger. It just... stands up.
Did you say how you knew it was a fake penis?
Because you could tell, but also, like, I Googled it. I IMDb everything. I find out the actor's name, I Google their name and, like, prosthetic penis. And then you find articles where the guy talks about what it was like to wear a prosthetic penis for that show.
That's so specific.
Yeah.
It's a funny Google.
I mean, there's definitely actors not using prosthetics, like Michael Fassbender in that one movie where he's like a nymphomaniac or whatever. He walks through the scene with his flaccid penis that's humongous, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that was his real penis. But even like in the nymphomaniac movies, the Lars von Trier movies.
Shia
LaBeouf. He doesn't wear a prosthetic, but they do that thing where... they use porn actors for the penetration footage. Oh. And then they use, like, CGI when his face is showing. They CGI'd his face on a porn actor, basically.
Oh. Yeah. I have no interest in watching that movie.
And they do it with Willem Dafoe, too.
I would, like,
it's really gratuitous.
I would rather just watch a porno.
I don't know. A lot of times I wish pornos had, like, better plots.
Yeah.
And everything.
There probably are some, but...
yeah, but, like, I don't know. Nothing, like, I would like. I think I could make the most amazing porn. Like, not like, as an actor, but, like, as a director, producer.
Oh.
Yeah. Where is this going? My movie is so good.
I was like... oh, you're going to be, like, the one who's directing or acting in it?
No.
Are you going to be in the sex parts?
I mean, maybe. Maybe one day.
Why do you think you would make a good porn director?
Well, like, I'll be watching porn, and I'll just be like, yes, this is so hot. And then they'll choose to do something, and it's just, I instantly am like, ugh, God, you ruined it.
Like, you know? What do you mean?
Like, I really like it when they're, like, in a scenario, like at the doctor's office or something, and, like, the doctor's, like, examining the guy or whatever, and he has to take off his clothes or whatever. I watch a lot of, like, physical exam porn.
It's very specific.
I know. I don't know why I find it so hot. I also think doctors are so hot.
Agree.
Oh, my God. But then, like, if they break character and they just go into, like, being porn actors suddenly, that it's all lost. Like, it has to be, like...
Okay.
No, a doctor wouldn't tell you to, like, put your dick in his mouth. If he does, that's, like, not a good doctor, probably.
Yeah, they're breaking their Hippocratic oath.
Right? Like, it's got to be, like, I like it when it's, like... Someone is doing something that's, like, very taboo, and the other person's like, oh, no, no, this isn't okay. And then it's like, no, it is okay. And he's like, oh, maybe just this once.
So they have a staying character throughout.
Not the whole thing, but it has to be, like, long enough.
Okay.
It can't be, like, you know, business as usual, and then, like, oh, wow, that's a big cop.
Does it just, like, ruin the fantasy?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I like foreplay, and I like I could foreplay with somebody for hours, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't just like fucking, like, I don't know. I like that too. That has its place too, but I don't know.
Well, this is sexy.
We got sexy.
Yeah.
Neither of us have had sex in a long time.
So long.
Neither of us have even felt sexy in a while.
It's true.
But we got it. We really turned up the heat just now.
Oh, I guess I still got it in us.
We do. We're naturally sexy people.
I love it!
Okay, so we have some politics to discuss.
Can I sing a song?
Okay. Politics. Politics. Tick, 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 tick. Politics. Politics. Is that the song?
I think so.
Okay, we should definitely review that and find out. So we were going to talk a lot about just all of the bullshit that's going on right now. Part of that bullshit was me being suspended, but...
Yeah. Multi-politic winner, Ron DeSantis. I feel like we've mentioned him before, or at least, like, several Florida politicians.
Yeah.
They consistently make this politic list and consistently disappoint me. But Ron DeSantis is definitely a gold medal politic.
Mm-hmm.
We're signing the Don't Say Gay bill into law late last month.
Right.
And it's fucking hateful. I hate him.
I mean, I've always hated him. I think you've always hated him.
I have always hated him. You're right.
And he won the gubernatorial race the year he won, who was, like, up against someone, like, potentially amazing, right?
Yeah. It was like
the
Tampa guy. I don't remember. It was black. He was really sexy.
Yeah. And he lost to this goober.
I know. He's such
a... Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. She's angry, too. We hate...
No, she's angry because I was eating, and I made the crinkly sound with the bag, and she thought I was snacking without her, which was true.
It's true.
Okay. So, I mean, Florida in general is just a terrible state, and they deserve to be made fun of because they keep doing shit like this.
Yeah. And I feel like we should actually read what's in the Don't Say Gay bill, because I think there's, like, a lot of, like, misinformation about that. And
I did. You on our side of it?
No, I think it's, like, There are folks that, like, what does it mean to say, like, don't say gay? And like, the other, like, really insidious provisions in it that, like, are fucking hateful. But, yeah, I wanted to read the actual text of it because I think that's important to...
You don't just want me to say what I think it means.
Well, yeah. I mean, I do care about that, but, like, I don't want you to mess it up.
Well, there's a good chance. Because I haven't read the bill.
Okay. So, this is the most controversial part, because there's lots of parts in this law. Classroom instruction by school personnel or third parties on sexual orientation or gender identity may not occur in kindergarten through third grade, or in a manner that is not age-appropriate or developmentally appropriate for students in accordance with state standards.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's break it down. Okay.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited right now.
Are you?
I love when someone breaks it down for me.
Okay, so classroom instruction by school personnel or third parties. So this is like teachers, teachers' spouses, I don't know, like cafeteria workers. This is like, I think like what's horrible about this bill is how vague it is. Mm-hmm, and so exactly. Like, yeah, so, and like they're not allowed to talk about sexual orientation or gender identity. So that like rules out gay people or people who are non-binary or trans people. And you may not talk about this or instruct, quote unquote, for kids who are in kindergarten or through third grade in a manner that is not age appropriate. So what does that fucking mean?
It's so vague.
Yeah.
And also like, it's just such shitty because like we live in a heteronormative society and we live in a cis society where like people that are heterosexual and cisgendered, they don't have to talk about, because they're the majority. They don't have to talk about their own issues. It's always just already assumed. And then they also talk about things in this comfortable, privileged place of like, they could talk about boys liking football in the classroom. That's no big deal.
Right.
But they can't talk about boys liking Barbies.
Yeah.
Because suddenly that's an issue of gender.
Yeah. 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 And it also like it militarizes parents. It's kind of like the Texas abortion law where
oh my God.
Yeah, where like parents can just like sue, take like have civil lawsuits and school the entire school or the sue districts for like if like Miss Smith talks about Tommy's two mommies or something like right. that, like that's, and then also like for saying something is age appropriate is so ridiculous, like
because who,
yeah, like kindergarten through grade three, and grade three is what, like six years old?
No, it's like more like I was six in kindergarten. Some people have six in first grade.
Oh my God. Okay, so
it's like seven or eight.
Seven or eight. You probably know that you're gay by then, aren't you? Like, don't, I mean, when did you know?
I it's hard to say because the society we live in is so much different now than when I was little. But I didn't even, like, figure out I was gay till like, sixth grade.
Okay.
But in a society where, like, you tell your kids you could be whatever you want to be, you could like little boys or little girls, and where we actually tell our kids what gay people are mm-hmm. when they're little, which is not something that, like, it's totally fine to talk about homosexuality with children.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with homosexuality. It's not immoral for children to know about.
Yeah, and it's like, what if I had friends who were getting married and it was like a gay wedding. Does it mean that like a kid from Florida, they went to that wedding and they couldn't talk about it in the classroom?
Yeah, and obviously I can see educators being, you know, punished if they break these rules. But like, what if the children do? Is there some kind of like thing where they suspend the kid for talking about gay people or whatever?
Yeah, yeah. I really don't know. There's just really no defense for this like fucking bigoted law that is a real thing.
And then like, what about our friend, our little friend who is trans that served us at the diner the other day? Like,
yeah.
What about trans kids and gay kids? Are they allowed to talk about themselves at all while at school?
Well, okay, so another, like, insidious part of this bill, because there's many things that are, like, fucked up about it, is, like, it's kind of like what you were talking about before, where I think, like, parents must know if they come out to, like, their teachers. It's like, parents must be involved in the conversation. And that kind of reminds me about, like, how your counselor, like, outed you. Or
my middle school guidance counselor, who I never even sought counsel from, like, she was a friend of, she was a mother of a girl that I knew. I never went to her office. I never said, like, I'm having a hard time. a friend of mine who I came out to went and told her that I was telling everyone in the school I was gay. And then she called my dad, which wasn't even the main parent. He didn't even have custody of me. And she called my dad to tell him that I was telling everyone I was gay and she was worried for me. And then my dad confronted me about it, like, I'm worried for you too, son. Like, are you being safe? Are you, your counselor said you were telling everyone you were gay. And fortunately, like a month or two before that, I actually told my dad I was gay. But if I had not, she would have outed me to my fucking dad.
I know, like fucking asshole. Fucking asshole.
Of course, that was like 1998, but still.
Yeah, yeah. Like, what if, it's like the point that like Lexi brought up is like, what if your dad were homophobic?
Right.
Yeah, like he could have like, he could have hurt you. He could have traumatized you.
He could have kicked me out of the house.
Yes, yeah.
Which I didn't live with him, so that was nice. But I don't know. It was so fucked up. And she, the thing was that she had, she was the school's counselor. I think she was like one of two. But she never counseled me. And she knew nothing about my at-home life. So like there was no, she had no right to break that wall. Yeah. It's almost like, if you worked with a therapist and then they go and tell someone about your shit.
Huge violation. So like the specific part is that in this law now is that it requires schools to tell parents when their child receives mental health services. So it's not even just about like gender orientation or sexuality. It's about mental health. Like that is,
which is actually ridiculous.
It's so wild. So
because
ridiculous.
what if you go to a counselor and say that I'm being abused at home?
Yeah.
What do they have to tell your parents?
I guess so.
That you're being counseled about the abuse you're receiving from your parents?
I know. It's so horrible.
It's so ridiculous.
I hate this law so much. I'm never going to Florida.
Well, I was listening to someone say this. Okay, so you know the whole thing about like, I don't know who this is from. It's from some kind of like piece, you know, a long time ago. They said like, first they came for these people and that wasn't me, so I did nothing. And then they came for these people and that wasn't me, so I did nothing.
Yeah, I know that.
It's that whole thing of like, everyone's like, well, I'm not gay or trans or whatever. So like these things, that's probably best that we do something to keep that all, you know, under control. Doesn't affect me, but they don't understand that the by violating the rights of gay LGBTQIA plus people, all of their rights are being violated.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right.
And it's 100%. Only the first step
in
something that's going to be a violation of everyone's rights very obviously in the future.
Yes, yes, definitely. This hurts everyone.
And it's like the same thing. Well, I want to talk about the Chechnya thing, too. I guess I'll segue into that. Like, there's this documentary I watched called Welcome to Chechnya, and it's about how gay people, specifically in the province or region of Chechnya, which was absorbed by Russia after the breakup of the former Soviet Union or whatever, and I believe that Chechnya is predominantly Muslim. Which is probably a part of the reason why it's kind of looked at as being a little bit more separate from Russia, because most of Russia is Orthodox Catholic, I believe, and Chechnya, I think, is Muslim. But the president or the leader or dictator or whatever of Chechnya, whatever they're calling him, he's a fucking dictator.
Mm-hmm.
He is, like, just a little...
power hungry?
No, but he's, like, a little pissant. He, like... is loyal to Putin.
Okay.
He does everything that Putin wants him to do. And so, basically, in Russia, it's illegal to get married if you're gay. Not just in Chechnya, but all of Russia, you can actually, like, the whole don't say gay thing has been their law
mm-hmm.
all over the country. You can't talk about anything gay or you'll be arrested.
Yeah.
Specifically in Chechnya, gay people have been, for a long time now, have been rounded up and tortured and been made to admit all of the gay people they know. And then they go and get them and they round them up and they torture them and they're murdering some of them also. They're probably sterilizing them.
That's so awful.
Because they don't want to admit that there are gay people in Chechnya, or that there are even gay people in Russia, and these people have to flee Chechnya, and they'll go to like Moscow or the other big cities, and then they stay in safe homes until they can get sponsored to leave Russia, and they go to Canada or other parts of Europe or the US, and they seek asylum.
That's so awful. I feel like, you know, people would be like, oh, this would never happen in America. But like, if you follow the logic of where these, like, far-right DeSantis Trump supporters are going, like, what other conclusion can you have besides, like, people who are trans or people of color are just, like, not in the Bible and should be all rounded up and, like, sent to Canada? I don't, if I were to like talk to one of these people, like first of all, like I think I'd be terrified for my life and like all my values and stuff like that be questioned by them. But also like I really feel like they just like think that I'm a fucking pedophile or something like that. They just must think that like I'm the worst person and like I want to indoctrinate their children.
That's what you think the religious right thinks about you as a liberal?
Liberal, or that like I'm friends with gay people, or I'm like I'm a person of color.
You're definitely a baby killer.
I'm a baby killer. I've never had an abortion, but like I definitely don't care if people have abortions if they need it. Yeah. But it's like everything that I stand for and I believe in is an abomination in them. And but they and like what else would they want to do with me besides like kick me out and like make sure that like I never come into these borders?
I mean, it's very Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just crazy. It's like, there's all these, like, anti-trans legislations happening. It's actually really crazy. I almost feel like, so the whole gay rights thing has been happening for obviously a really long time. And the trans rights thing was always on the forefront of that. But it kind of got, kind of like the whole, like, feminism just became white feminism.
Yeah.
The gay men, specifically cis gay men, and probably mostly white cis gay men, kind of pushed trans people of color out of the way, even though they were like at the literal front of the parade.
Yeah.
When gay pride started. Sure. And like fucking and that's only in the US. I don't know what that's true of other countries, but probably the same thing. Like at Stonewall, like the first rock, whatever they were throwing, probably not rocks, but was thrown probably by a fucking black trans woman.
Yeah,
but they Stonewall. Like, they just like pushed all that out of the way. They almost erased it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then gay pride became about white gay guys with mustaches and leather jackets. But anyway, and even the lesbians kind of got pushed to the side.
Yeah.
I feel like the same thing is true, obviously, with, like... Or what am I saying? I feel like we're finally talking about gender, and it's, like, rustling up a whole bunch of weird feelings that people never got over regarding sexuality. Because, like, obviously so many people were very upset when we passed gay marriage in the whole country.
Yeah, it's, like, a backlash to that. Yeah.
But it's, like, no one ever... They feel like they didn't get to say anything when that happened. And now they get to voice their opinion because, like, all the idiots have been talking.
It's true. It's a culture war. And now they've turned on trans people. But, like, I don't know if, like, you've heard on Fox News about, like, how Laura Ingraham has reframed the Florida bill as, like, an anti-grooming law. It's like, oh, we need to have this law because otherwise children will be groomed into thinking that like it's okay to be trans or gay and stuff like that. But then like that is like what the evilness of it is like they're equating this with pedophilia.
Right.
Yeah. And like that's like their only way of turning the conversation around is by saying, like, if you support this, then you're a pedophile.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's not a new... That's such an old argument.
Yeah.
It's so funny when you realize that all the arguments that are in the news today are not... They're nothing new. They've been argued about for hundreds of years. I didn't read the whole article that Lexi shared with you about
Anita Bryant.
Is that her name? Fucking bitch devil.
I hate her, bitch wolf.
She's a bitch wolf. You know what? They're gonna have to fucking kill me!
Gotta get out of this drug cartel.
I'm sorry.
This is clearly an inside joke, but
no, everyone gets that. That's a meme. That soundbite, you're gonna have to fucking kill me, is memeing so hard.
Is it really memeing right now?
I wish you ever saw memes.
Oh my god.
It's memeing. It's like memeography.
Did I send it to you before it was a meme? Because I felt so, like...
I mean, you're always in trend. You might not realize you are.
Okay.
I mean, you were the first time I saw it.
Anita Bryant, that is her name.
Yeah. She was whatever... I always think of her as the orange juice lady.
She is.
Because is she an heiress to, like, Tropicana Fortune or something?
She just promoted orange juice.
Or she was just in Florida. She was, like, the first lady of the pulp.
But also a fucking idiot.
Yeah, and so she was anti-gay, and that was during the fucking Reagan administration, right? So they were war on drugs, they were ignoring all of the people that were getting HIV and AIDS and dying, and they could have been helped, and they were ignoring all of them. They let all those fucking people die.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like anti-gay, anti-HIV AIDS, anti fucking being an actual Christian.
Yeah. Using the Lord's name for their work. That is, like, some bullshit.
I just saved Layla's life, by the way. She almost fell on her spine off the couch.
Oh, my God.
You saved her life.
Well, that was a nice way to
And I interrupted our conversation to save her life.
Well, we were getting really worked up, so.
I know. Thank you for saving us, Layla. She's so happy. She's, like, smiling from jowl to jowl.
But it's good to talk about these things.
I know. So didn't the article say that, like, there's been, like, a rebirth of the shit that she used to spew? She's dead now, right?
Yeah. Oh, I don't actually know. I hope she's dead. But, but what we touched upon is that, the white fragility, or, like, white woman tears, and demonization of minority and queer people is not new. It's used all the time, used today, and it's fucking wrong.
It's fucking wrong.
It's hateful.
I want to tell you that. Okay, I want to tell you a little bit about the article or the podcast I was listening to. It was on Crimes of the Centuries podcast.
Okay.
I listen to too many podcasts.
You do.
And I'm also still afraid your daughter's going to flip off the couch. I'm holding onto her paw. Her back paw.
It's so cute.
So this podcast, Crimes of the Centuries, is actually also about true crime, but it's like historical crimes that are, like, at the time they were, like, the biggest fucking deal, and now no one even knows about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually super cool because I love history and I also love crime. So basically the first episode was kind of all about these, like, alms homes. Like, they would send poor people, they would send people with mental illnesses, physical illnesses. They would just basically anyone that society, like, didn't want. This was, like, in, like, the mid 1800s, late 1800s. Into the 1900s, they would just send all these people to a home, and then they would be overcrowded, they would die of disease, there was, like, abuse involved, like, crazy things. And some of these things were state-funded, some of these things were, you know, church-funded, like, there were Catholic orphanages and homes for, like, these two, and the nuns would physically abuse and torture children.
Wait,
and
hold
people.
On. Why were they sending them into homes?
So there was just a lot of times, like, poor people would go because they couldn't feed themselves, or, like, their families were too poor and they had to, like, get rid of members of their family.
Oh, they're just, like, rooting out, like, the lowest denominator.
Homeless people would probably just get sent there. And then if, like, you had a kid, like, Like, for instance, this one place was called Tewksbury. It's just called Tewksbury. I feel like it's Tewksbury.
Tewksbury,
and it was in
Massachusetts.
It was, actually.
Oh my god, how do I know this?
It was, I believe it was where, what's her name? Helen Keller's teacher was put there. And she was blind. She was only put there because I think she was poor and blind.
Okay, so they just sent all, like...
Yeah, and her brother were sent there. Her brother died of disease because there was so much disease there. And she survived and she ended up, like, saying, I want to become a teacher. And then she eventually met Helen Keller, who was deaf and blind. And at the time, they just called her dumb, which is, like, ridiculous. And she, like, this woman's name was Anne something. Do you remember the miracle worker? She was the miracle worker.
I don't remember her name.
But she got Helen Keller to be able to, like, speak and, like, communicate for the first time.
Yeah.
Her name is probably Irish. It's, like, Anne Flanagan. God damn it. We're going to have mistakes next time. So, she was there, and it was just, like, terrible, terrible treatment of all these people. So the first episode that I listened to was kind of about those homes. But now, the second episode went into the topic of forced sterilization. And a lot of times, people that were sent to these homes, they were obviously imprisoned there. What was her name?
Anne Sullivan!
They were obviously kind of imprisoned there, right? They were sent there. They weren't allowed to, like, leave at any point. And some of these people, through, like, laws that were passed by our, like, different states passed them, but then eventually it went to the Supreme Court around the time that President Taft was in, I don't know if he was president or if he was on the Supreme Court, but they were all for forced sterilization of, like, undesirables, basically.
Yeah.
Like, poor people who weren't white.
Yeah.
People who just were having too many kids. People who, you know, not too many kids, but they were also poor and possibly not white. Like, just all these people they deemed to be, like, inferior humans. They were like, let's round them up. Let's sterilize them so they can't make more inferior humans. And the Supreme Court of the United States actually passed a law that said that was, like, okay.
Yeah.
To forcefully sterilize people. And it's like, what?
It's so fucked up.
They forcefully sterilized a ton, like hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Native Americans so that they couldn't have children, so that they could basically erase Native Americans. They probably did it to a ton of Black and Brown people, like...
And you were saying that's how, like, Hitler... justified the...
Yeah.
The...
Okay, so...
internment and... the Jewish people.
Okay, so... eugenics was a movement that exploded all over Europe and the United States, mostly. And that was a huge movement before Hitler was even a dictator or... a chancellor or whatever. Like, he took from our history books what we did and used that to, like, manipulate people during the Holocaust in World War II. Like, it was not, a lot of his ideas weren't even his.
Yeah.
He got them from fucking us.
Yeah.
Most of the states had eugenics laws, which there was different degrees of that. Some of it was just, like, there was forced sterilization as a part of that for, like, non-white people. It just was, like, they were getting people because there was already this, like, unconscious bias, and then there was, like, this really underlying racism of, like, they were getting people closer and closer to saying, like, okay, obviously we need to preserve whiteness. We also have to preserve, you know, like, just... a certain quality of people, like people that are educated, people that have money.
People think the same way as them. I mean, exactly. I wouldn't be surprised if, like, Tucker Carlson or Laura Ingraham or all these like Fox News watchers like probably would want to sterilize people like us so that like their people can survive.
It wouldn't be impossible for for them to start to persuade people that that was okay. And then they were talking, there was already talk about like, would it be okay to euthanize people? So they were going to start murdering people.
Oh my God.
There was already talk about that in some states. And the thing that's really fucked up is that, and on this podcast, they said that they still haven't, like, amended those laws in the Constitution or whatever. Like, whatever the Supreme Court did, it's like, they're obviously not going to sterilize people, but, like, they just haven't gotten around to, like...
taking it out of the books.
To eliminating the idea of eugenics from... the Constitution, essentially. It's just, like, kind of there a little bit still.
Ugh.
It's just so crazy. There were people, like, they were, like, people would be convinced that they were poor and they were, like, they had loose morals. Like, there was this one woman who, her mother was a sex worker and she, Lila's so cute. And she was born to her sex worker mother and her dad. Like, neither of her parents were educated. And this girl, because they were poor, she got sent to one of these homes. And then she was actually the case that made it to the Supreme Court for, like, she was like, please don't sterilize me. Like, I have every right to, like, have children. And they were like, no, we need to sterilize her. We need to sterilize her brother and, like, you know, if her parents were still around, we could sterilize them too. And that was like, she lost her case. Like, she lost her right to defend her reproductive system.
So she got forced sterilized?
She got forced sterilized. And it was like, all the way up to the Supreme Court, all the way up to the top, they were like, yep, you need to get sterilized because...
oh my God.
Because you're... They would say that people were feeble-minded.
Oh my God.
And feeble-minded was a vague thing. They didn't really know what that meant.
Oh my God.
So you could just get sterilized if you weren't smart.
Shit.
Yeah, it's fucked up. And those, like I'm saying, like, there's still remnants of that in America.
Yeah, because, like, they want to, like, stamp out the truth.
Yeah.
They want to have... a police state.
White supremacy is very much a thing. And I think what I've always, like, what I came to realize, like, in the last couple of years, and what I think a lot of other white people don't realize is that to be white supremacist, it just means that you, somewhere in your mind, you believe that white people are supreme over other races. And that's not, that doesn't mean you have to hate people of color. It just means that somewhere in your mind you have this belief that white people are a little bit better than black people.
Mm-hmm.
That's white supremacist.
Yep.
That's literally what the words mean. But people, they think, they see white supremacists and they think the KKK.
Right.
Or like these other groups that are like the, what's the National Socialist whatever, which actually makes me mad because I consider myself a socialist, but these assholes are... not socialists, they're fucking fascists.
Not sure what you're talking about.
There's
but...
like a party, like a pseudo party, and they're called like the National Socialists, the NSA or something. Is that what it is?
But I mean, I see your point though. It's like those people, it's like white people who don't believe in white privilege.
Right.
Yeah.
These are the kinds of people I'm trying to like make aware. I think that at the very least, they have unconscious bias, but it's probably more than that.
I mean, it's like
it's
fucking
more than that.
Magic to be a white person. It is would be so wonderful to not like carry this stress of being a person of color in this country.
But what a gift to me to be a queer, because I get knocked down several pegs. And that is humbled me, and it's also made me feel like it's absolutely essential that I be like a comrade with people of color.
Mm-hmm.
And You know, like, I really feel like if I were straight and white, flapping my penis around on HBO,
yeah,
I would have no idea. I might be a terrible person. Like, much worse than I am.
Well, I think you definitely have, like, a point there. I feel like being in a maligned group allows you humility and empathy. And it's something that I am sad for cis white people that they don't have. I mean, I'm not sad for them. They have everything in the world. But it does mean that, like, when I meet a person who is in a group that is a minority, I feel a kinship to them, and that's wonderful. Like, people who are in the minority are actually in the majority. There are many more of us than there are cis white people.
Yeah.
So that feels good, I guess.
It's it's scary to think that we might be this close to, like, a Holocaust, but we're never that far. We're never that far from it, because it's not like we are different in how our brains are developed now than they were at that time in 1930s. Like, that wasn't even 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, true.
We aren't that far from it. I learned this from watching Samantha Bee. Mm-hmm. Do you watch ever Samantha Bee?
Sometimes.
What's it called? Full Frontal. Fucking love her. I did not know about all these book bans that are happening.
Yeah.
It's insane. I'm like, what are you talking about? That's literally, they're not burning the books. They're not blatantly being Nazis. But, like, and apparently there's, like, these groups. The groups are either offshoots or, like, rebranded versions of the Daughters of the Confederacy, which is, like, you kind of don't want to be called that anymore, I don't think. There's, like, this group of moms, and Samantha Bee made some joke that they used to be called, the acronym used to be MILF. They realized it was pornographic and they had to stop. There's these moms that are kind of radicalizing, and it's almost like they've been planted to radicalize this energy that, you know, is causing parents to say, well, I don't want my children reading pornography. And so there might be, like, one line in a book that's deemed pornographic, which is a very loose term. Or, like, the values are just different. Yeah. Like, we don't want your kid... We don't have anything against black people, but this book is full of ideas that are critical race theory.
Yeah.
And we don't want our kid... And so basically you've just pulled out all the books with black characters or written by black people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This brings us full circle to what we were talking about in the beginning. And, like, the whole idea of, like, quote, parents' rights.
Yeah.
And, like, how that is just, like, a like boogeyman for saying that they don't want their precious little Bobby and Sally to have, like, a real truth bomb that is, like, the sordid history of our country.
Yeah.
But they would rather have, like, Bobby and Sally just, like, grow up behind their, like, white picket fences.
You know, when people say, like, I miss the good old days of, you know, the simpler times.
Yeah.
It's like only certain people can even say that.
Yep. Yeah, it's true.
And it's white people.
Yeah, for sure.
It wasn't simpler times for black people or Native Americans.
Yep.
There's never been a simple time for those demographics in this country.
Yeah, it's a privilege to say, like, make America great again.
Yeah. And was it even that great for them? Like, has America even ever been that great?
No.
There's always been war. There's always been killing. There's always been, like, rape.
Fucking.
Even if you're a white woman, you have to deal with white fucking men.
Mm-hmm.
Which will pull their dick out and come into a plant in front of you.
Did we forgive Louis C.K.?
I really want to. He's so funny.
I mean,
he hasn't done a special since he came on a ficus.
He got canceled. I think he's really funny.
Are we going to cancel Will Smith, you think?
How do you feel about that? Are we going to talk about it? I guess
nobody cares about what we think about it, but I think we should. I know Wanda Sykes is very upset about it. And actually, she was hosting the Oscars, or was it the Oscars?
She wasn't hosting. She was talking to Ellen, I think, was it?
No, but she was, like, co-hosting those awards.
No, it was Regina Hall.
What?
And, oh, Wanda Sykes was.
Yeah.
There's three of them, yeah.
So she was like, I wish that he would apologize to us. It was like we were throwing a party and he made a fucking scene. Like, he should have fucking apologized to us.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, I think Will Smith is, like, willing to apologize to anybody who wants an apology, but the whole thing was iffy. I mean, it was almost like a weird thing of like, you need to defend your wife. No, you don't. She could defend herself. But then it was like, he was making fun of a person with alopecia, which is not okay.
Yeah. I'm not team Chris Rock either. He consistently punches down.
Yeah.
At two instances where he's thrown Asian people under the bus is this current Oscars, which he awarded the Oscar to Questlove for the documentary Summer of Love.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Questlove and these four white guys get this Oscar. But, like, first of all, it was three producers, actually, and one of them was Indian American.
Uh-huh.
And for that Indian American to be lumped under these quote white guys was actually really, really fucked up for him, because it's like there's not that many Indian Americans who have won Oscars before.
Right.
And like at another Oscars where Chris Rock was the host, he literally brought three Asian kids up on the stage with him and said, like, hey, this is just, like, Ming, and this is Bao, and this is Jerry Sakowitz. And they, like, did all, like, the accounts for PricewaterhouseCoopers, so it's all going to be correct anyway. But, like, he's literally using, like, these, like, young Asian kids as props for a joke.
Yeah, that's weird.
So, like, fuck Chris Rock, too. Like, I'm like, not team Chris Rock. I'm not team Will Smith. I'm not team Jada, either. So...
Yeah, it's, they have this character. Oh my god, there was this show on Hulu which you weren't able to watch until recently. I can't remember what it was called, but it's like this like black family. They move from basically the Carolinas all the way to California, and it's like the beginning of Compton, where Compton was like a white suburban development.
Oh.
And it's actually a really good show. It's like a it's like a Afro horror thriller, but like it's also like full of just like underlying like hate and racism, like macro aggression. It gets fucking crazy.
Damn.
It's very upsetting, but it's also really good, and I can't remember what it was called. Fuck. Anyway, there's like a minstrel performer, and I think that the minstrel that I'm referring to is like this, like, it's almost like an African-American man clown who, like, it was, like, their job to just make jokes and, like, use stereotypes about black people to make white people laugh.
Oh, no!
And I'm not even sure if, like, this was I don't even know. Like, I'm not smart enough about this topic, but I almost feel like I know the kinds of people that, growing up, I know my dad thought Chris Rock was hilarious. And also, like, there's all those jokes in The Office where Michael's, like, trying to do Chris Rock stand-up. I feel like if you're a black comedian punching down,
mm-hmm.
you're almost like, your audience is white people who are being told by you that it's okay to laugh at minorities. Actually, I don't even like using that term. People of color.
Yeah. I totally understand that.
And it's like, if that's that made him a lot of money, it used to be like okay, maybe a lot of people were doing it, but it's like not okay anymore.
Yeah, one can be funny without maligning people for things they cannot change about themselves.
Well, I mean, I've been that clown too. Like, I used to feel like I was only relevant in a cis hetero space if I was like making jokes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was like, waka, waka, waka. And like, you know, that's part of the reason why I pride myself in being funny is because I've been making jokes since I was a young queer person.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have to be funny or to be relevant. We don't have to please society to have value.
Yeah. I read this quote from our friend Marilyn Hemingway. It was like a meme that she was like, you don't have to blow someone's light out to make your candle light or something like that. It's like...
I love that.
Yeah.
I always say that too. I'm like, you don't have to be like, I don't have to not be smart so that you can be smart. We can both be smart.
Yeah.
Like there's enough room. The universe is infinite. There's enough room for us both to have goodness and good things. Anything else?
Vote for your local elections.
Vote locally. It's really important. I know we have some more local election stuff coming up in June, yeah. Which I don't know if you're going to be here.
Act locally, think globally.
Exactly. Or just like both. Just like act and think both. That'd be great.
Yeah.
And I hope that you guys are filling your holes with whatever makes you happy. Goodbye. Bye, Leela. Bye, Priscilla.
Bye.
Oh. Thank you for listening, lovers. I am so happy to bring this podcast to you, and I hope you're enjoying it. Please do not forget to subscribe on whatever platform you listen to. Like, leave us a review if you have the time and you feel up to it. And if you want to send us some sexy little stories of your own, or just let me know if I've said something stupid and fucked up and you wanted to correct me. It happens. Hey, whatever. You can email us at makesexwithmepodcast@gmail.com. Check us out on Instagram at makesexwithmepodcast and also on Twitter at makesexpod. Bye-bye.